Hey everybody, what's going on? I've been getting a lot of requests lately for another Creepypastas bonus episode. So I threw on my creepy murder voice, and I figured I would let you guys have some of what you want. It's actually kinda nice, cause I do these for bonus episodes and for fun, and it's not like I really have to ask my listeners or even beg them to listen to it. They do it all on their own, and I fucking love it. So, this first one is untitled, but it is written by a user named Del2Fi. When I was 16, my family lived in the middle of nowhere in the desert, outside Barstow, California. There wasn't much to do there, especially in the summer when it was too hot to go outside, except for in the early morning. But this one weekend, there was a small traveling circus fair thing passing through. My boyfriend at the time, Adam, took me to go see it. Actually, I took him, since I had a car and he didn't. It was mostly just a few magic tricks, some Willy cotton candy stands, and people dressed up in animal costumes. Not like at Disney World with the cute costumes. These were super creepy, like dirty animal pelts sewn together to fit a person. Anyway, we went, laughed at how bad it was. And then we grabbed some milkshakes, and I drove Adam back to his place just a few blocks from my house. A few hours later, Adam texts me. "Hey babe, what's up?" I said, "Not much. I'm going to read something." He said, "Okay, cool. What did you think of the guy dressed like Abraham Lincoln?" I said, "Who?" He said, "At the fair. There was a guy dressed like Abraham Lincoln. He was legit." I said, "LOL, I didn't see him." Adam said, "Too bad. He was pretty dope." I said, "Aw, you should have pointed him out to me." Adam said, "Well, maybe next time." At that point, my mom came in and was talking to me about something. I think it was about how I needed to start planning on what I would do in college. After a while, I finally got her to leave and looked at my phone. There were a few texts from Adam. First one said, "Babe, are you there? What's up? Sorry, didn't mean to bother you." I sent a reply back saying, "Sorry, Mom needed to talk to me. What are you up to?" After a few minutes, Adam said, "Hey, me and some friends went out to the bunker. We're having fun, you should come." The bunker was an abandoned Air Force site way out in the desert. There were some tunnels and stuff, and it was the go-to place for parties that you didn't want your parents to know about. It was just pretty secluded and far away, and easy to hide or get away if parents or police came out, which was rare, but it made it fun in a forbidden fruit kind of way. Adam and I had been there before, for small, tame parties with friends before. So this invite wasn't too unusual. So I thought about it for a bit and realized I didn't really want to read or plan for college. So I texted him back that I would be there in 20 minutes. I told my mom I was going to Adam's place. Yeah, I might have stretched the truth. Nobody admitted to going to the bunker. And so I got in my car. I was driving toward the highway when I passed the block Adam lived on. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw someone waving and glanced over. I kept driving for a few seconds while my brain processed. Then I hit the brakes. I leaned out the window and looked back. Adam was walking toward my car. I stared at him until he got to the driver's door. Adam looked at me and said, "I thought you were staying home today. Anyway, I'm glad you came by. I was just heading over to your place. I can't find my phone and I was wondering if I might have left it in your car." This one is untitled and also with no author. When I was a Boy Scout, I got the filmmaking merit badge while at winter camp one year. In order to earn it, you have to complete a short film. No matter how terrible. It's luck of the draw, naturally, when it comes to who is in your merit badge class. But since we were in the woods, we decided a slasher flick would be a lot of fun. We wrote a script where a masked killer goes around stabbing people at a Boy Scout camp. We weren't the most creative geniuses or anything. So there was this kid named Paul in the group. He was pretty cool. Got along great with everyone. He was one of those guys who was just naturally likable. But we unanimously voted to make him play the killer because he had this really creepy Peter Lorre eye thing going on. He did great. Fake stabbing a bunch of victims and being menacing enough for a movie produced by 12 and 13 year olds. We edited the thing. Buckets of fake blood, bad acting and all. And I forgot about it completely until 6 years later, when I was a freshman at college and recognized Paul walking between buildings. I jogged over. We made small talk about each other's spring break plans, since it was coming up in a week. And that was that. Not like we'd really kept in touch or anything. So fast forward a week, and I'm back at home watching the news when I see a report about a young man who's killed his mother, father, and two family dogs, and then lit their house on fire over the spring break. The police already had a suspect in custody, so the newscast flashed his picture, and sure enough, it was Paul. The next story is untitled, and there's no author available. In her early 20s, my mom managed a photography studio in the mall in Scarborough, Ontario. One day my mom is working alone and this guy comes and asking for a photo. But he's being a little weird about it, saying he needs a picture taken of his hip. He did a lot of injury photos for court cases, so my mom assumes this is what he needs and starts loading up the camera. When she looks up, he's got his pants totally off and he's exposing himself. My mom starts laughing hysterically and tells him to get out. She doesn't have time for this nonsense. About an hour later, a girl that was working at the denim store down the hall comes down to tell her about this pervert that took off his pants in the middle of the store, trying to expose himself to the female customers. They both have a laugh. He didn't seem at all menacing, just obviously not all there. 2 days later, the same girl comes running into my mom's studio, pale as a ghost. On the front page of the paper is a sketch of this guy, with the title, Scarborough Rapist. It's pretty crazy to think that she was that close to getting attacked by Paul Bernardo in the peak of his rapist crime spree. This next one is also untitled and unauthored. My Oma, which is grandmother in German, grew up in a small town called Weisslach, Germany, during the Holocaust and World War II. She rarely talks about that period of her life, but when we ask, she would say things like, "Yeah, I had friends who just disappeared, but we were raised not to ask questions." However, the most horrific story I heard was when she told me she was playing by a railroad track near her home with some friends. At one point, a large freight train came by. She heard what she thought to be scratching and screaming, but not those of an animal, because she had heard that many times before when the train had passed. This time it was different. So she ran home and asked her mom what that could have been or meant. She said that her mom just yelled at her to never ask questions like that again, and to stay away from the tracks and talk to no one. This next one is untitled, and there's no author given. Around 4 a.m., there was a call to the local fire station in Pensacola, Florida. When they heard an answer, they heard the screams of many people and the sound of crackling fire. The firemen yelled in astonishment for the person to tell them their location right away. They heard not just one person using the phone, but everyone they heard screaming before answering in unison. 1242 Westbrook Apartment Complex D. So the firefighters all rushed over and looked in astonishment as the apartment complex was completely unharmed. They took a precaution and evacuated everyone from the complex. Grumpy and groggy, the people living inside took their pets and children and waited outside. The firefighters did a clean run through of the apartment. But before the chief firefighter was about to release the waiting owners, an explosion on the lower part of the complex occurred. Flames started appearing rapidly in all of the windows, and the apartment slowly began to turn to ash and cinders. Upon further inspection, they found a gas pipe had ruptured and was ignited by a water heater's flame. The firefighters were shocked when they saw what occurred and remembered the call. When they tried to contact the number again to thank the caller, they only received the following response.
"We're sorry. This number no longer exists. Perhaps you dialed a wrong number. Please hang up or try the number again. And thank you for saving them."
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed your little bonus creepypasta episode. Until next time, stay creepy, and I'll see you on the flip side.